right, let's do this. Welcome to 2F Talking Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Coffey. Today is, what is it, the 5th? Mm-hmm. 11:05, 9:32 p.m. at night. With me is my good friend, Alan Towns. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing great. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing good. Awesome. This is the 18th episode. So, Alan, what I do for every title, starting with the second one, really, is that the episode title has nothing to do with what the podcast is about. It's just something that has the number in it. And this one is titled 18 in Life. 18 in Life was the title to the Skid Row song, their second single from their self-debut album that came out in, It's like in the 80s. But it was their biggest hit. But again, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but 18 in Life. So, Alan, you said you've been doing good. You got your little one, Alden. I'm assuming he's asleep now, right?
He's definitely asleep. Yeah, we're in the phase right now of trying to wean him off the pacifier. And it's not going well. I think he cried for 45 minutes before Caden finally went up there and gave him the pacifier. So she wants to cut it off cold turkey. And I'm like, well, let's just start with naps first. Once
we do
tackle naps, we'll finally move on to sleep.
Like, I think Charlie just eventually gave it up, but Jonathan, he was really needy with his passy, so I end up just cutting the tip off there. Mm-hmm. And he would still put it in his mouth. Like, he had the kind of passy that he put on his finger and put it in his mouth. Mm. And so I guess he was doing that to kind of relieve, like, the teething.
Yeah.
But once I cut the tip off of it, he couldn't get that suction. And so he would still put it on his finger and put it in there, but then he eventually just got rid of it. Then you'll have people tell you, like, put pepper on it and stuff like that. So
okay.
He'll probably give it up when he's ready to give it up.
Yeah, he... So during the day, he's fine. It's only when he wants to sleep. He likes it because it's just a comfort thing.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get there at some point.
Yeah, that's... The main thing is he's sleeping mostly through the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. If they can sleep through the night,
yeah. No, he's always been a great sleeper.
Be thankful for that.
Ever since he was a baby, he slept really well. Only when he was sick was it an issue. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I'm not even gonna lie. So I've heard horror stories.
Oh gosh, yes, my daughter Charlie, when she was born, it was like clockwork every 2 or 3 hours, and so me and Amanda would rotate, and. Just up wanting, I mean, she was colicky. She had a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say health problems, but she had like a lot of problems as far as digestive. That's what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. But she, 2-3 hours clockwork crying. You have to rock her back to sleep. She's just very needy. Jonathan, on the other hand, he would sleep through the night. It was great. Like 4 or 5 hours and then, you know, put him back down.
Yeah.
Every kid's different.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So Alan, I know we talked about this, not this previous weekend, but the weekend before, but, of course the movie Dune has come out.
Oh yeah.
And, I kind of, maybe I was a little hard on it because I watched it spread out over, I think, 3 days instead of watching it in one sweep. I thought it was good, but it was kind of, the pacing was slow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the visual style of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, we're talking about the new Dune movie that came out, which you can see in theaters, HBO Max, which is an adaptation from Frank Herbert's science fiction book, Dune. But what did you think of the movie?
So I loved it, personally.
Yeah.
I think going into it, a lot of people thought it was going to be an action movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was more to it. You know, it was more trying just to set up the scenery and what's going on in the world of Dune.
Yeah.
And what the big surprise was when you watched it, it was Dune Part 1.
That's right.
And all the trailers and everything you watched before that, they never mentioned anything about it being Part 1. So I think that threw people for a loop. Obviously, if it was good, everyone's going to make a sequel these days. But I think he just wanted to establish kind of just you know, the world of Dune first before we jump into just another action movie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and it makes sense because if you think about like the first Marvel movies, like Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, they were kind of, they weren't as good as the sequels, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Maybe Iron Man, you know, but Captain America and Thor, definitely, I thought the sequels to them were way better. But they established a foundation. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do here is establish the foundation that this is the world of Dune. This is who, you know, Paul, the main character is, and stuff like that. And it makes sense. And I think, you know, thinking back on it, I was talking to my friend Jesse, who's a big Dune fan. He's read all the books. And I wish there's, I can't remember, I think there's like 13. I honestly can't remember how many books there are.
I've only ever read seven.
Yeah, I've only read the first one. And I'm rereading it now, I'll be honest with you. And, of course, people that don't know Dune is, it's science fiction, but it's not necessarily science fiction because it's more like medieval culture set in a future world. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Like where you have houses and you don't have like laser fights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They still fight with swords and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But there's future technology in there.
Yes.
But it's not like you have your X-Wings flying around blasting people or mm-hmm. you know stuff like that.
That would be my biggest complaint for the movie. And the reason why it was more of a medieval fantasy set in a futuristic setting was that one of the initial themes of the book was that technology almost wiped out the human race.
That's right, yep.
And they abolished all computers, which I know in one of the books there's another
Yeah, the mint hats and stuff like that. Yeah,
so they deal more with gene splicing and genetically altering humans to kind of make them more like computers, just because they don't want computers to try to take over the world again.
Yep.
Which they didn't really do a great job in establishing that in the movie, which I know that was a huge theme in the original book. And I just don't think they really... I don't think they did a great job kind of capturing that essence, because you saw the ships and stuff flying around.
That's people right. That's right.
Computers, you know, because they never really mentioned anything.
Yep.
They didn't mention what a mentat was or any of those things, which in today's, you know, cinematography, I can get why they didn't, you know, because for the modern crowd, I don't think they would care what a mentat was. I don't think that was important to the movie at all.
Yeah.
But to your original fans, you know, thought it'd be cool.
Yeah, I thought the movie really captured the, like I said, the visual style I thought was awesome. It definitely had, you could tell there's a lot of love and care put mm-hmm. into it as far as how we want this to look. Mm-hmm. And the tone, I thought they did a, because the book has a lot of ties to, it's something we talked about before, like Zen, Eastern, you know, thinking, and also like Islamic, not necessarily the Islamic religion, but like, yeah, maybe a little bit, just the mentality.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a good job of capturing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there's sometimes some of the stuff just, like I said, just to me, and again, I didn't watch it sitting down all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I broke it up, which I probably shouldn't have done, but that's just the way I had to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think that probably hampered it for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another main theme of the original book was that to not be a hero.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like an anti-hero book.
Yeah.
Kind of like Game of Thrones, where they'll kill characters very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought they captured that actually really well. There were a lot of things that I thought that Dune movie did great, like the visuals, like you said, setting up kind of your characters and kind of their backgrounds. I thought they did a really good job, at least with the main characters. There are a few side characters that I was kind of displeased that they didn't touch on.
Yeah.
They didn't show the Emperor at all, which I thought was a little strange. And they didn't really break down any of the Harkonnens except for the Baron.
Yeah.
But
his son or his mentat, you know, the movie has some great actors in it. You know, Josh Brolin, Batista. Paul was played by Timothy Chalamet, the French actor. Yeah. He's really good.
Yep. And you had Oscar Isaac.
Yeah. He's a fantastic actor. Jason Momoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a lot of. And there are several other people that,
yeah, Zendaya, I'm forgetting. Was in it from, yeah, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Javier
Bardem.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 Yep.
So it had. They spent a lot of money on it. Let's put it that way, and you could tell.
Yeah.
That it to me, it wanted to be epic. But it was more like a setup.
Yeah.
And now that we know that it's part one. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that part two will kind of improve for me the problems I had was the pacing, that, and that's, yes, it. But is that something why I liked it? It's just, mm-hmm, I thought it could have been better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, what you just said right there was my same argument against Star Wars Episode VII.
Yeah,
was this movie is either going to be great or horrible,
yeah,
depending on the next movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
depending on how this next movie comes out, I think it could either be a great movie or it's just going to be okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, because I know he's been dealing with some of the reviews of that probably contain some of those issues. And from what I've read of him, the director... What's his name? Denis?
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, to be honest.
Valueno, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. He was due to Blade Runner and the Blade Runner sequel. Great director.
I know Josh Brolin came out and said that was probably one of the best movies he's ever watched that he was acted in.
Acted in?
Yes.
I figured he would have said Goonies, but...
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, Goonies. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it did a great job of kind of capturing the world of Dune and kind of what was going on with the houses.
Definitely the planet Dune. Yeah, yes. Definitely. I thought they did the sandworms. That was awesome visuals.
Oh,
I thought that they did a pretty good job explaining what spice was, mm-hmm, which, you know, spice was... was kind of a symbol for oil, so, mm-hmm, to speak, you know, for the Middle East and stuff like that. You know, fighting over this resource that, you know, the world needs, so to speak. But yeah, I would recommend if you're a fan of science fiction or even just political intrigue stuff like Game of Thrones, which Game of Thrones was a fantasy show, but it had a lot of like adult themes in it. I guess, mm-hmm, you'd say you would like this show. So,
oh yeah.
So, but anyway, movie, do you have anything else to add to Dune?
Oh, no.
Okay, so we're big Marvel fans, comic fans, you know, Star Wars, stuff like that. But, like, so the next Marvel movie that's coming out, I think it just, did it come out this weekend?
Yeah, it came out today.
The Eternals. It's getting some of this, it's getting bombed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch it, but the Eternals, I think the reason why they want to make this movie because it's going to tie in with some of Thanos' backstory, I would think, because he wasn't an Eternal. He was he a Deviant? I don't think he was a Deviant either.
He's a Titan.
He was a Titan. That's right. So he had ties to that. Of course, the Eternals were created by Jack Kirby, you know, a comic book artist. It's a high concept, you know, these mm-hmm, celestial beings created to come to Earth and fight off the deviants and protect. And so the movie is bringing this high concept, and I'm curious to see how they tie in. But some of the reviews that I've read of it is it's really good, got a diverse cast, but the story is kind of just all over the place, I guess, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see how it is.
I know before it got... a full theatrical release, a lot of people bombed it because of they thought they forced the diversity in the movie.
Yeah.
Which, who knows? But I know it had like a 21% critic score at one point, and that was because a bunch of people were just bombing it on purpose.
Yeah.
And intentionally.
I don't... I get it. And I also don't get it. You know, it's like, I'm for including everybody. I think everybody's equal, you know, stuff like that. I'm all for that. But also, to me, like, James Bond is, I didn't even particularly, like, I like the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. This is just an example.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, James Bond was always a black-haired guy, Scottish guy, you know, Sean Connery, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, you know, of course, you know, the books, you know. But, you can move past that stuff, even though it may tick you off, you know, it's like, why'd they do this to that guy? Mm-hmm. You can still move past it and watch it and enjoy the movie, I would think, anyway. I mean,
yeah. No, I think Marvel has the secret now to any movie they come out with is going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be as great as Endgame or whatever your favorite Marvel movie is, but it's still going to be enjoyable and it's still going to be worth the watch for sure.
Yeah, even to me, their weaker movies, which would be
the first Thor.
First Thor, Iron Man 2, I didn't really jive with that well.
Mm-hmm.
Even Captain America, they still served a purpose as far as furthering and building out the world, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think everyone just has the expectations of Endgame now.
Of course.
Just because of how epic it was.
Well, how epic you got to see the Guardians of the Galaxy with the Avengers and stuff like that. That's what we've always wanted. And now there's rumors that, hey, potentially the X-Men are going to come in, Fantastic Four. So yeah. We want all this stuff now, and it's like they have a plan to, slowly integrate everything in.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I just think, you know, we're still dealing with the backlash from COVID.
Yeah.
Because I feel too. Like a lot, we would be further in the cinematic universe by now, for sure, if COVID wasn't a thing.
Well, they delayed some movies, right?
Yeah. They've delayed all of them.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Which we've been lucky because we've had the Loki show, Scarlet Witch and Vision, even the Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were all good.
Yes.
I thought Loki was the best one by far for me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they all did good as far as furthering those characters, building out the world. And especially Loki opened up the whole Pandora's box of the multiverse, which Spider-Man's going to look at, you know, with, right? So, the next TV show is Hawkeye.
It's Hawkeye. I know they are slated to bring out Miss Marvel. There was one more that I'm forgetting. Another television series that they were going to come out with. I'm pretty sure they're doing
Blade, right? Or is Blade going to be a TV show? It's going to be a movie? Okay.
So, Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad. I can't remember what they called them.
The Thunderbolts.
The Thunderbolts. They're doing the Thunderbolts.
So are they going to have Nemo in it?
Yes. So you know at the end of all the TV series, that lady is handing out the business cards?
Yeah.
She's getting together the Thunderbolts.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And
at
the end of Black Widow, she goes and meets Black Widow's sister.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. So like she'll have like the U.S. agent. Mm-hmm. And then the Black Widow, and she'll probably recruit some other people.
Oh, they're
as well.
Doing She-Hulk. That's the other television
show.
Yeah. They're doing.
I'm curious to see how that'll work.
Yeah. So that'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, Marvel's definitely done a better job than DC has movie-wise and then tying the movies in with the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at the DC movies, you know, I liked some of them. Like Aquaman, I thought was good. Shazam was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as some of their TV shows are better than their movies, like the Superman and Lois.
Mm-hmm.
That's a better example of Superman than the DC movie Superman that they've used.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, so, I hate the DCEU. Their television shows are much better.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, DC has to be worried because Marvel's television shows are catching up with DC's.
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's super excited about the Marvel TV shows.
Yeah, because I think Arrow is ending.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have Flash. It's been going on for a long time. And of course, Amanda loves those shows, and I'll watch them with her every now and again.
Yeah.
But, and those are, you know, they've been good examples because get to the essence of the characters where they've made the movies, they wanted to make them grim and dark for some reason, which I don't understand. So
yeah, I think they were just trying to be the polar opposite of what
Marvel was doing, which made no sense to me.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, in football, when a team finds the right defensive scheme to shut down someone, as in me being a Chiefs fan, everyone has figured out how to stop Patrick Mahomes now. Everyone's going to copy it, mm-hmm. you know, because it's successful. Yeah. So I don't understand why DC just didn't do the same thing.
I don't know. I'm hoping that they'll up their game, but who knows?
Yeah.
What they have, the Batman, which Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
It looks interesting, but I don't know. I don't see how you can top the Dark Knight trilogy, the Christopher Nolan's. I don't. Maybe they can do it. I don't know.
Don't think you will. I will say, I am pretty excited about this Batman.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a younger Batman. I guess more as he gets started.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Having the Riddler in there.
Yeah, Riddler.
The Riddler was one of my favorite Batman villains.
Yeah.
And I like the kind of spin they have on him. He's not just some comedic villain.
Yeah.
It's more, again, dark.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're getting the essence of the Riddler.
And I think Colin Farrell is playing the Penguin.
He is.
I'm curious to see how that's going to go. So.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it does not look like Colin Farrell.
It doesn't.
Like, when you watch the trailer, I think he's actually in the trailer. You can watch it, and it does not look like Colin Farrell at all. So.
Another big universe we're fans of is, you mentioned Star Wars Episode 7,
mm-hmm.
but I watched. Have you watched the trailer for The Book of Boba Fett?
I have.
Oh man,
I'm so excited! Like when it popped up on YouTube, I was like, "There's no way this trailer's already dropping."
Yeah, they dropped it,
and I was like, "Oh man, I'm so excited!" So,
was it John Favreau? Was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he directed first Iron Man. You know, this is a guy that did Swingers and made, like, these, you know, comedy stuff. But the respect he has for the Star Wars, to me, he saved Star Wars with The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel. He saved the Star Wars universe.
I think he did. I think he did. The spinoff series of Star Wars, they were the best. They were much better than 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, yeah.
And I think just Star Wars screwed up, like, with changing directors. I get the idea in trying to keep creative ideas more unique with changing the director, but at the same time, as you notice, especially watching Episode 9, they just destroyed the pacing.
Oh, yeah.
And every director had, like, their own way they wanted to take villains and different characters. And I think it just completely screwed up everything.
Of course it did. It was they bought that franchise, and that is, they had to push through something, and they had a horrible game plan.
Yeah. And I think they were, in Episode 7, they were too focused on trying to abolish the old.
Yep.
Like, out with the old, in with the new. Like, that's my entire feeling from watching that movie, was they were just trying to get rid of all of the old characters.
I mean, you kill Han Solo off. Then Luke, you know, goes away. Then, mm-hmm. you know, of course, Carrie Fisher died. But, mm-hmm. you know, of course, you know, she won't be there. But it's like, no, you got Chewbacca still, you know. And I don't think they understood the passion, loyalty that Star Wars fans had. Because think about this. Of course, Lucas didn't support it for the longest time. And there was an alternate extended universe that was created from the passion of the mm-hmm. fan base.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, and some of those stories were pretty darn good, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, then, of course, Lucas came back and did the first three, which were kind of, they established stuff, but then it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, it's like,
I don't know if it's just because I grew up with those movies, but I really enjoy those movies.
It's not that I didn't like 1, 2, or 3. I thought 3 was pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, The Phantom Menace, I don't know, there's parts of it I didn't like. Now, you know, Darth Maul was pretty awesome, not going to lie.
Yeah.
And it was more of the, to me, it was more of the, because she did a lot of green screen stuff, and you could tell more in that one than later stuff, because it was still in the infancy and everything. I just feel like, for example, the anime series that they've released, like the Visions, the one-shots, what these guys were able to do with the Star Wars idea and take with it, I thought was pretty darn incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Because something new but still respects, you know, the original idea. And so that's what I felt like they should have done. If they wanted to make something new, that's what they should have went with it, you know, when they made 7, 8, and 9, you know, I guess.
No, but. I agree. They tried to go away from the Jedi and, again, just killing all the old characters that made it great. But I think when they were forcing that, like, it felt forced.
Yeah.
If it just seemed like it happened, then that would have been fine. But to me, it felt like it was a forced theme.
Yeah.
Like in the Visions, like you were talking about. Nothing was forced because it was just all new ideas.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was fine, you know, seeing Sith fight Sith and, you know, seeing a Sith turn into a Jedi.
Yeah,
and
But it also respected the established, I guess you'd say the established universe of what Star Wars is, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, the book of Boba Fett, of course, I think you've told me that Anakin, he's going to be in.
What? He's going to be in two of them.
Obi-Wan.
And he's also now confirmed in Ahsoka.
Yeah, yeah.
And in both of them, he's confirmed to be Anakin and Darth Vader.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And again,
Darth Vader one at Ahsoka doesn't make sense. It'd have to be a flashback.
Well, I say it probably is.
They'd both have to be flashbacks.
Yeah.
Because Ahsoka takes place after Episode 6.
Yeah.
So she's, again, the idea is that she's going to be hunting down Admiral Thrawn for whatever reason.
Yeah. I would say it probably would deal with flashbacks because you know that Vader would have tried to locate his old Padawan, right? So.
Well, he did become a Force ghost. Anakin did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they'll probably have the spin where he'll be a Force ghost.
Yeah.
And he's going to track down Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And then you might see flashbacks of Ahsoka versus Vader.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. So you have those. I haven't heard anything else on the Stormfront. I know that they had talked about developing another trilogy of movies with different characters, but
they
They are? Okay.
It is called The High Republic.
Okay.
It is back. It's supposed to be, I think, 2,000 years before.
Before, okay.
Before Episode 1.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be before the Rule of Two with the Sith.
Yeah, okay.
So there's actually going to be a lot of Sith and a lot of Jedi. But one thing they preached in it was that they didn't want the only threat to the galaxy to be
the Sith.
The Sith.
Yeah.
So there's supposed to be other things happening.
That would make sense to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What I've always liked about Star Wars is it's like Western and space and I guess even to in a sense Eastern or Oriental themes all mishmashed.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing, this, you know, this bowl of awesome. And I don't know. It's not even the Jedi are cool, but I always thought Han Solo's character, you know, was awesome. I thought the Solo movie was well done.
I loved it. And the reason why it just got so bad reviews was because people hated Episode 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Because 8 had just came out and it was horrible. And people were revolting, and they thought that coming out with a Star Wars movie every year was ruining it. And to a point, it was. You know, it's just like Call of Duty, for example.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
When you come out with a Call of Duty every year, it loses its awesome.
And that was Disney trying to make a profit off the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, they spent money to buy, you know, and so they want to get a return on their investment, and so they wanted to do it fast.
Yeah.
But to me, they didn't do it. I mean, they're doing it now because they're giving us what we wanted, I guess you would say, with Boba Fett and everything. So.
Yeah. You know, I think what's going to happen is short term, we're just going to get Star Wars television shows. But I think here in a while, we'll start to get movies again.
Yeah.
But I think we'll get movies when they establish the High Republic.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll start to get movies more and more and more.
Yeah, that's building up the universe to more, because I know that they're gleaming some of the stuff from the extended universe, like the Grand Admiral Thrawn, right? Mm-hmm. He was introduced in the expanded universe. That's the universe that, you know, the fans, these writers, authors created when, you know, Lucas wasn't doing anything with the property.
Yeah.
And so there were some cool ideas come from that, and then there were some, you know, some dumb stuff came from it too, just with everything. So, but I'd always thought that the Dark Empire, which was set after episode 6, I always felt that they should have used that for 7, 8, and 9. With a storyline where, you know, Luke trains Leia to be a Jedi as well. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, get married, have kids. Luke goes over to the dark side to try to defeat it, and Leia has to save him. It's a, you know, pretty awesome storyline. I never understood why they didn't want to develop that into the movies.
Yes.
And the idea that, you know, you had to get Harrison Ford and you know, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, which I love those people, you know, fantastic. You know, Harrison Ford's one of my favorite actors of all time. But they could have easily have gotten younger actors to pick up and, you know, carry on, you know.
Yeah.
Who was it that they showed look almost exactly like Mark Hamill? It was
the guy that plays the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Looks almost
what is his name?
Easily pass for Mark Hamill, you know?
Yeah. The only thing he didn't have was he didn't have as defined double chin that Mark Hamill had. But no, I mean, he looked almost identical, which is crazy.
And that's another thing, you know, we talked about when we were watching The Mandalorians, when Luke Skywalker finally appeared. The respect they finally gave his character that he didn't get in the new trilogy movies.
Yes.
Because you're just... It was just so awesome just to see him lay waste to this stuff that they were having trouble fighting, like those assault droids or whatever. He just took them out.
No, like, I mean, I think my favorite scene in any Star Wars movie, any, has to be when Vader boards the ship in Rogue One.
Oh, yeah. And no, just
when he's chasing down the Death Star plans,
he just decimates everybody.
I mean, I've never been more excited as a nerd Star Wars fan ever than to see that.
To see a Jedi actually go to town and do what you would think that they would do.
Yes.
You know, because the older movies didn't really show you, you know, the full, I guess, fighting skill of a Jedi, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Of what they could actually do.
And it was just because they were handicapped from
times. That's right.
You know, and I think that was the cool thing with episode 1, 2, and 3 is that you kind of saw more of just the epicness.
Darth Maul, when he first appeared, you're like, wow. Yes. This guy's doing flips.
And then, I mean, it'll be the most iconic Star Wars song probably ever now, besides the intro, is Duel of Fates.
Yeah.
You know, when Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan are trying to take down Darth Maul.
Yep,
I mean, it's one of the coolest scenes.
Yeah.
And I think this is... My sister said it best, was that the new movies just didn't feel epic.
Yeah, yeah.
1 through 6, there was some point during the movie when you were just like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think 7, 8, or 9 had anything like that.
Yeah.
So
it's like Empire Strikes Back was, to me, the high point because they lost. You know what I mean? And they have to regroup and try to strike back. You know, Han Solo gets captured by Boba Fett, turned over to the Jabba and frozen. You know, it's just...
I think another big pet peeve of mine when watching the new movies was that they had defeated the Empire, right?
Yeah.
Well, why, when the First Order comes out and they go fight Starkiller Base, do only 12 X-Wings go after this planet-sized base, you know? And they somehow destroy it. Yeah. Like, it just blows my mind. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it seemed like they made these big leaps in technology. Okay, well, we can't do this star. Like, what about a planet killer that can destroy a universe? You know, and just, and then they're tracking us through hyperspace now, and it's just like, yeah, these incredible leaps, and it's like, yeah, the rebels didn't have a plan for takeover after they beat the Empire. Yeah,
I can even see the Empire having that technology.
Yeah.
The craziest thing is just like, how come there wasn't more Republic ships or more of a force built?
Exactly. That's, I don't understand it. I get that the Empire would have a backup plan in case the Emperor died. I understand that 100%. Mm-hmm. But it was like the New Republic, so to speak, the rebels didn't have a plan also to take over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Because the First Order was the big villain at the beginning of the movie. Like, it didn't even explain how they came back together.
Yep.
And, you know, they touched on it in The Mandalorian, but in The Mandalorian, they made the Empire seem like
they were on the run. They're out, and they're like various factions fighting for, you know, for control.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if that'll be further explained in the TV shows to flesh out those movies. But the simple fact that you have to do that to make those movies better tells you that those movies probably shouldn't have been made. Then.
Another pet peeve of mine, I think, has to be Snoke.
Yeah.
Like, he was set up to be one of the coolest villains in Star Wars ever.
Yep.
And then he was just a puppet of Palpatine's that he was controlling from afar.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, why wouldn't Palpatine just use his own likeness?
That's exactly right.
You know, why did he use
some? See, that's the thing. In Dark Empire, Palpatine had clone bodies, and that he was able to literally transfer his essence into those. That's how he stayed alive for so long.
Yeah.
And so that's the technology. That was the reason for the clone troopers. They were working on clone technology for him to live forever, so to speak. Because if you remember when he's talking to Anakin, when he was still the senator, he tells the story about Sidious, right?
Yep.
And that sets up the keys for him to eventually, you know, this is a guy that wants to live forever and just rule over everything. And how they lost that, I don't know. So
yeah.
Oh, but anyway, I guess we've talked enough about Marvel and Star Wars and Dune. So we'll go on to the next thing, Alan, which is things that make us laugh. And I don't know if, there we go. See, I have my buttons that I can push. When you listen to this in the podcast, you're going to hear laughter.
So. Okay.
You see what it's...
All right.
See,
So I don't actually have to laugh at any of these jokes.
No, you don't.
Okay. I hope I do.
I hope you do, too. I have a pretty deadpan humor style. But, so, I start things to make us laugh section in the podcast because the state of the country, we're dealing with COVID, and it just seemed like wanting to bicker and fight all the time, and it's carried over now because you got people fighting over masks, vaccines still, and just all this stuff. And so I was like, man, you know, we just need to take a step back and just relax, you know what I mean? It's not as bad, you know, we'll get out of this. And so I thought the greatest way to do it is, you know, to read jokes from my favorite comedians. So that's what I'll do, so you can laugh or not or whatever. But forgot a couple jokes from Stephen Wright. Of course, he's a guy who has frizzy hair. He's comedian, actor, writer. He's kind of the king of deadpan humor. He has a very monotone, slow delivery style, so to speak.
Okay.
But this is one of his. It says, "I planted some bird seed. A bird came up. Now I don't know what to feed it." You get that?
I do.
Your sister was on a, I think, 2 episodes ago, and I read some jokes. She's like, "I don't get it." It's like, it's okay. You don't have to. Oh, here's another one from him. It says, "I went to a general store. They wouldn't let me buy anything specifically." So.
shaking his borderline, head. Borderline dad joke.
Yep, that's right.
I like it.
All right, this is Louis C.K. Of course, Louis had his problems where he had that scandal where he was doing stuff he shouldn't have been doing, but I always liked Louis. I thought he was funny, and he has some nice teaching moments in his jokes. But anyway, this is a couple of his jokes. He says, "What happens after you die?" "Well, lots of things happen after you die. They just don't involve you." So
that is true. It's true.
Yeah. It says, "If you're older, you're smarter." I just believe that. If you're in an argument with someone older than you, you should listen to them, even if they are wrong. Their wrongness is rooted in more information than you have. It's not really a joke. It's maybe more of a quote.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually.
Not really. If you're wrong, you're wrong, right?
Yes, so. Yeah. Well, that's my dad, though.
Yeah. I love, I don't know, I love jokes that sometimes don't make sense or don't hit it off, you know, 100%. But,
yeah.
But anyway, no, I'm trying to think, you know, how I know Alan, of course, I was a youth minister for a while, you know, in my early 20s. And Alan was actually one of my youth, one of the kids in my youth group. And, of course, we've stayed in touch through the years. And he's grown into a fine man and a father. And glad to count him as a friend. And but that's how I know him and his sister. And still keep in touch with quite a few of my old youth group. And
yeah, it was crazy. I was actually talking to Caden about that today before I left. I was like, you know, I've known Josh for 17 years. And she's like, "Josh Smith?" It's like, "No, Josh Coffey. He has been my youth minister, and I've known him since I was 14 years old."
That's right.
And, I mean, I knew you before
then.
I didn't talk to you before then.
Yeah.
It was just you always awkwardly sat in the front left pews, and yeah. So, and then you became our youth minister, and I've had probably some of the greatest memories and times of my life from our church lock-ins and just the different...
Yeah, you know, kind of the Wild West, I guess you would say. So,
but yeah, yeah. I think probably one of the greatest things, if I had to say something I've learned from you, was one of our first ever... lessons that you gave. You were talking about just belief and faith, and you said that if you're going to believe or have faith in anything, you should know what it is. Don't have blind faith.
Yeah.
Research and know what you truly are believing and having faith in.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was cool because you weren't trying to even persuade us to be Christian. You said whatever it is you choose to believe in.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, again, have the faith and know about it. Don't just blindly lead what someone's having to say. And I think that was the coolest thing about when you first became our youth minister was you weren't just trying to force something on us.
Yeah, I wasn't just trying to feed you that baloney, right? So,
yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's one of the things, you know, I've always had this, of course, I was in a position of authority, right? But it was, how can I can't make someone believe, you know, believe in God or believe in Jesus. You know, you can't do that. I can try to talk to him about it. But even then, you know, I can be wrong on some things. And I always was a big advocate of, okay, I want to know as much about what I believe. Like, you have people today... And this is the big thing. It's like, I believe in science, mm-hmm. right? You'll hear that a lot. I believe in science, the science of this, science of that.
Yep.
Do you actually even know what you're talking about?
you know,
have you researched science? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's you know, I believe in science too. You know, maybe sometimes a little differently than you, but who's wrong between us? You know, let's look at the facts and the data and stuff like that. Yeah, the world's not set up that way. The world is set up for people just to blindly follow, and that's something that, you know, Christ often, and I've talked about this with my friend Jeremy Moses on one of the podcasts, like, he often described us as sheep, because sheep blindly follow, you know, a leader, so to speak. And people, and well, we were talking about this before we even started the podcast. You were saying people don't want to make decisions for themselves, right?
Yeah.
They want to be given something.
Yeah.
And I just don't think you should live your life like that. I mean, some things, yes, some things it's nice, right? But when it comes to something that deals with what happens after you die, if you believe that something happens, don't you want to know? Or if you believe that something doesn't happen, then maybe you need to research and prolong in your life. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's... I think one big problem with our culture today is definitely social media, but more to it than just that, it's just we've become a headline culture.
Yep.
People will just read headlines. Like,
yep.
For example, the other day my phone will give me headlines to articles, and you can click on them and read them just over your interests. And one of them was Robert Pattinson replaced as Batman. And I was like, what? He hasn't even made a movie yet. Like, well, that makes no sense. He quit.
Yeah.
So I read the article, and in the article, they talk about Ethan Hawke is going to be voicing Batman in an animated series.
I gotcha. Yeah.
But he didn't actually replace him, you know? So it's one of those things where, like, headlines can be misleading.
Yep.
And the way that social media just kind of controls our society right now is really scary.
Yeah, and they know people do that. Like, I read a headline on a... it was on Twitter, but it was from, like, Yahoo News or something like that. But it was how, like... And I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. But I thought this was very dishonest. It said 30% of Republicans want to have violence, believe that the country's going to come to violence. Now, if you take a country of America, which is, what, 350 million people?
Mm-hmm.
30%'s a large... chunk of people, even if it's just Republicans, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that a large portion of our country wants to fight to have their way, physically fight, you know, have violence. But when you actually read the story, it was 2,500 people on a online or phone poll, which people will say whatever they want on a poll, right, or online, and it was over every 50 states. So it's like you take that small sample size of people, 30% of that, and you make this headline that says, makes people think that, oh my gosh, we better vote for Democrats because he's, it's stuff like that that I get tired of.
Yeah, I mean, you can Google anything and find data to back up your claim.
That's exactly right.
So. Just like one of our good friends, I tell the story all the time about making sure you know your source is legit. One of our friends back in the day talked about how Michael Vick was gay and said that he found it on the website. And
I remember arguing, you know, till my face was blue with this certain individual.
Yeah, and I remember that you looked up the website, and at the bottom of it, it said that this is just my opinion. This isn't actual fact. So it's one of those things.
Yep.
I think people today, they just want to take the easy road out. Again, like I was telling you before, they just want to be told what to do and, you know, what something is. They don't actually want to put the time in to actually figure out something and actually believe in it themselves truly.
Yeah.
And that's why that first lesson you gave us as our youth minister has stuck with me for so long, because I think it's probably one of the biggest issues with our society today is that people don't truly put the time in to believe in what they're saying or what their faith is or religion or whatever it is that you want to put in there. You know, even if you want to break it down to being sports fans, you know, people don't want to put the time in to actually, you know, you talk about bandwagon fans all the time, whoever's just winning. So one of the reasons why I've always been kind of upset with one of our friends, Miles, because I always thought he was just a bandwagon fan of the Steelers. And
when they were good, he was really
good. And it was just everyone at Danville High School liked the Steelers. And I felt like he didn't like the Steelers. But he knows nothing about the Steelers. And it's just, I'm a Steelers fan. I'm like, all right.
They got a cool logo and jersey, yeah, right? So exactly. Look, I get it. You know, you're always going to have people like that, but no, you're not a true fan until you like a team that doesn't, it struggles a lot. Like my Saints, so yeah, we won the Super Bowl, but we've been bad for years before that, and
yes,
you know, with Breeze retired, now it's, you know, I don't know. I've
been a Chiefs fan for a very, very long time. And all I can say is I have been waiting my life for Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I first started watching the Chiefs when Trent Green was our quarterback.
Yeah.
And the first year I watched him was when Priest Holmes got chop blocked and broke his back.
Yep.
And that was when they first made it illegal to do chop blocks.
Yep.
In my second year, Trent Green got hit as he was sliding.
Yep.
And then they made it illegal to hit a sliding quarterback. So I've just been plagued as a Chiefs fan for a long time until now, and now it's looking like I'm getting plagued again. But
you got a Super Bowl out of it. So.
I did. I know. That's what I keep telling myself.
That was more, of course, you know, I watched the Chiefs a little bit in the 90s. Of course, Joe Montana played his last two seasons with the Chiefs, I was a big Joe Montana fan. Of course, my dad liked Joe Montana. You know, 49ers quarterback, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, right? So, but
yeah,
but he got them in the playoffs, but he couldn't take them far, you know, into it, you know. So, I mean, I don't know, football's what I will say about football more than any other of the sports is there's more parity. Is that if a team gets hot, they have a chance to go all the way, but it's harder in, you know, basketball or even baseball for, you know, teams
because there's more players on the team,
yeah,
everyone. You know, makes a difference.
Yep.
You know, your teams that get plagued with injuries, you know, like Green Bay for so long. You know, these last 2 years they've been somewhat healthy, but right now they're getting the COVID bug. But, you know, they were just been plagued with injuries year after year after year. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think Aaron Rodgers hadn't been able to get another ring.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, he's an amazing quarterback, but it shows you how hard it is and how lucky Tom Brady's been to be in the situations he's been in, you know, to have the weapons around him, that how hard that is to bring together.
Yeah.
Because you'll have, you know, does everyone buy into the team concept of this guy gets paid more money because he's better? What about some of these other guys? Are they willing to take sacrifices, stuff like that? Or you normally with a Super Bowl team, after you win, you have the culture of me. It's like, well, I just won a Super Bowl. I want to get mine now. You know, I sacrifice the team. I want to get mine, right? So it happens. But I think, like, the Chiefs' problems have been their offensive line, right? They just
– Yeah, so I think it's just a mixture of things. It's the – we have a brand-new offensive line this year. We don't have one offensive lineman that started a game for us last year. But then we got rid of Sammy Watkins, which, you know, you'd never really know just because someone's production value how much that person means to your team.
Yeah.
You know, because now that took away our third threat, and now we basically just have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
So everyone just doubles them every game and forces Mahomes
to... Unless you get someone to step up, fill the void. Yeah. It's, football was... golly, I used to... do fantasy football, and you know, I'd get the books, and I don't get to watch a lot of it anymore, let's put it that way. Of course, when you have kids, it's harder, and still try to keep up with UK football, and which we're finally, even though we just lost Mississippi State, we're doing still have a chance to make some noise this year. So
first 10 win season since 1977.
Yeah.
If we pull it off.
Yeah, I think we can. I mean, you know, play, what, Tennessee tomorrow? And
yeah, so I think we match up well with the rest of the teams we play throughout the year. Well,
Tennessee, Vandy, Louisville, and...
some other crappy team.
Where we're playing our lower-rung team that we play. I can't remember who we're playing, but... we should be able to win out, I would think. Mississippi State, that's always been, of course, the Andre Woodson year when we were really good. We went down there and got just totally destroyed. It's for some, whatever reason, I don't necessarily think Mississippi State was better than us. But they played a lot better than us. Let's put it that way.
The turnovers, of course.
Yeah.
Same thing plaguing my Chiefs right now. We had 4 turnovers that game.
Yep.
We had 2 turnovers in the red zone.
And they just dinked us. yeah. all the way down. I mean, that's yeah. all they did. I mean,
yeah, it was the quick screen passes yeah. outside.
Like, okay, we'll do that. We'll take cool. we'll take 5 yards every time. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Still and
we'll
very cancel. Impressive. I don't know yeah. if you saw Mississippi State's quarterback's yeah. ending stats. He was like 32 of 37.
Yeah, something like that.
With like 400 yards, and it's crazy. Even with the dink and duck passes.
Yeah, because eventually some guy's going to break free, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I don't know. But anyway, we'll move on to the faith discussion.
Okay.
Where I like to, of course, like Alan had said, you know, I explained earlier, and people who listen to podcasts know that I used to be in youth ministry and often thought about going into ministry itself and just things, you know, different life takes you different directions and you find out maybe that's not necessarily what you want to do. But, you know, I still read the Word of God and still live by the teachings of Christ and still feel like I can share stuff with people and my point of view on Scripture anyway, what I feel God leads me. So that's what we do with the podcast. And if you want to believe, you can believe. If not, hey, you know, at least you'll have a little bit better understanding of it. But we're going to be talking about last podcast with Ian. We talked about grace, you know, something freely given. I want to talk about atonement today. And, of course, atonement means making amends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And scriptural atonement in the Christian faith, in the Old Testament, New Testament, really deals with the larger concept of paying for the penalty of sin and making amends that way. Like for the Old Testament, for example, you had the sacrifice system, right? You know, mm-hmm. where you go into the temple and sacrifice to cover, you know, blood for your sin. New Testament, it was obviously Christ, death on the cross, which was atoning for our transgressions, covering them and bringing about reconciliation. But I want to talk more about the human-to-human interactions that we have. Basically, like what I mean is, like, I hurt you, I should atone for my actions.
Yeah.
So I'll read a scripture just real quick, Alan. And this is Matthew 5, 23-24. Let me find it real quick. It says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And this is talking about, you know, reconciling with someone that you've wronged before you come to God, so to speak. In the Christian faith, repentance, atonement, forgiveness, reconciliation, mercy, they all tie together. We're all under this big umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about making something wrong right. And a lot of people think like, okay, I do something wrong, God forgives me, you should forgive me, and that should be it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yeah, maybe, but sometimes you have to do atonement for what you've done. You break the law, you pay the penalty, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I like about the Catholic, you know, our brother faith, Catholic confession, where you go to the priest, you confess your sins, which that's actually a biblical thing. You don't have to do it, but we're told in the New Testament to confess your sins to each other so you can relieve that burden of stress and guilt, right?
Yeah.
So the Catholic confession, you go, you confess what you did, and he gives you, you know, say, three Hail Marys or, you know, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to confession myself, but I know that, you know, they tell you to do something to relieve that burden. And I remember I've had several people that, you know, say, well, God forgives me, you should forgive me. And technically that's right. Yes, we should have forgiveness for people. But if I do something wrong to someone, say like I damaged something of your property, I should seek forgiveness. But shouldn't I also try to replace your property as well, you know, that I damaged?
Yeah.
Now, where mercy comes in, mercy is, no, nah, don't worry about it, I got insurance, that's what that's for, right? You know, mm-hmm. that's mercy, you know. Yeah. But technically, I should try to atone for it first, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do we know, or that I've known, that don't understand that? That they don't understand that, hey, I've screwed up, I need to make that mistake right with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all part of the seeking forgiveness part, because sometimes someone can give you mercy and say, okay, you saying sorry is okay. Jonathan and Charlie get in fights all the time.
Yeah.
And there's been times when Jonathan, of course, he's younger, he'll, like, punch Charlie, punch her in her stomach, you know, hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't say he's sorry. Like, he just walks away like he's going to get in trouble. It's like, tell her you're sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie, but he doesn't mean it.
Yeah, yeah, he's just saying it just to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he needs to atone by paying a penalty as far as getting in trouble to set him straight, right? There is no saying, I'm sorry. Of course, she forgives him, their brother, but it's also sometimes atoning teaches you a lesson to move past that wrong action, right? So...
It's actually funny you brought up the property example, because I recently had a customer drive into one of my buildings. So I've actually been dealing with that firsthand, which is pretty funny. So, again, I think the worst thing about it when it happened was they're more embarrassed than anything.
Well, of course, you know, yeah.
They have the money or whatever it is. It's just everyone in the lobby, as they were leaving, had to look at the door.
Well, of course. Then
look at the driver and figure out what's going on.
How did you do this?
Yep. So, and it's just one of those things, you know, mistakes happen. The lady, I remember as I was talking with her, she's like, you're just so nice. Like, I don't understand why you're just being so nice right now. And it's like, mistakes happen. You know, it's a part of life. You know, we have insurance, like you said.
Yeah.
We'll get it fixed. The biggest thing is we're both okay. I remember I offered him free food. I joked with him. I was like, well, you're on your way to Penn Station anyways. Might as well have some free food. So just because I felt bad that they were, you know, embarrassed like that more than anything.
Yeah.
So, but no, it's just, like you said, you have to, people just can't expect that everything is forgiven. There has to be some... At least sometimes, you know, depending on what it is, there has to be some action that's required, like you said, to atone for the mistakes that you made.
Yeah. It's what I try to tell people is God forgives, and we can forgive as well, but it's harder for us to do that. So sometimes atoning makes that forgiveness easier, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had, you know, someone hurt my family by their actions, and they just expect it to just be forgotten. And it's like, whoa, hold on a second. You caused some substantial damage to my family. You need to kind of make this right. You know, forgiveness is there, but, you know, you just can't be just like, oh, you forgot about it. You know, I mean, this has been years of, you know, something going on, and it's like, if you just do those steps, everything will be good. And it's not like trying to put a standard or a yoke on someone or something like that. It's just about doing what you're supposed to do anyway. If I did something like that, you better believe I would try to make it right. And again, I'm being vague with what I'm talking about, but it's more of a personal issue. But it's just something of, if you do something that's drastic or harmful or hurtful to someone, you should try to make that right. Now, if they release you from that, that's good. But your first step in seeking forgiveness and repentance from your wrong action is to try to atone. And I think that's often forgot about in our faith, that you need to make right what you did. And sometimes here on earth, you have to pay a penalty for what you do. How many criminals do we hear commit gross actions, get put on death row, and then try to get big forgiveness and get their life saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was there any of that for the victim? You know what I mean? When they commit. Now, look, there can be forgiveness for them, but that penalty still has to be paid, right?
Yeah.
So, again, you know, that's, I'm not in those shoes. I'm not in anything. That's not what, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, mercy can be there as well. But sometimes you have to pay for what you did. I guess that's what I'm trying to get across. But,
yeah.
But anyway, that's more of, I guess, the human interaction of atonement. The main thing is how we treat one another, you know, how we deal with people who are hurt we show that by our understanding of Christ, of his teachings, but also how we're living by those teachings as well. So, but anyway, I guess I'm done with that. Did you have anything you want to add to that, Alan? Or
no, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll come to the close of the show, and Alan, I like to, I think of what I say every episode. I'm, you know, a fan of comedy shows. You know, The Office, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, Community, so many. Seinfeld, Cheers. You know, What We Do in the Shadows. You know, just great stuff. But I like to end it with a quote from a character from one of those shows, and this one's gonna be from The Office. Michael Scott, obviously, one of the funniest characters in TV, in my opinion.
Yeah.
This is from season 5, episode 12, where Michael, of course, you know, Dunder Mifflin, he's got his office there in Scranton, and he gets called by David Wallace, the CEO, to come because their office is doing so well. He wants to know what you're doing so good where everybody else is struggling, right? Mm-hmm. And so in this episode, Michael's dreading to actually go because he thinks he's in trouble. When he actually sits down, and David goes, well, tell me, Michael, what are you doing that's working so well? And he, like, the look on Michael Scott's face is like he's so taken aback that he, because he was expecting to get chewed out or something like that. And he's like, hey, I'm doing good. And so he runs with it. And of course, Michael was a guy that had to have everybody like him and all this other stuff. But anyway, this is a quote from what he says. David, here it is. My philosophy is basically this, and this is something that I live by and I always have and always will. Don't ever, for any reason, do anything to anyone, for any reason, ever, no matter what, no matter where, or who you're with, or wherever you're going, or where you've been, for whatever reason, whatever. It just rambles on like that until David stops. Because he has no idea why he's succeeding so well. So live your life like that. Don't do to anyone whatever, no matter whatever, whatever, you know. So just this rambling, weird answers.
Wow.
But anyway, he's Michael Scott. The Office is a show, you know, there's shows that you can just watch dead time. You know, that's one of the shows I can just watch just to kill, so to speak. So, but anyway, this is, I guess we'll come to a close, Alan. I do appreciate you for coming on and for being on the podcast with me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time coming, for sure.
Yeah. I know I've talked about it. It's just, of course, I'm long in between episodes as well because, you know, I've always tried to go, I'm going to try to do bi-weekly. I'm going to try to do, you know, as much as I can, and then just life events happened where you don't have time. And I do appreciate because I just gave you like what a 2 days notice or something like that, or even a day, and I try to give people at least a week or a week and a half. So I apologize for that, but
it's fine.
I was thinking, well, I need to have, you know, Alan on because I have a list of people and it's like trying to get to everyone and then finding the time to do it because, you know, kids are doing stuff and work, getting home later. You know how it is. It's life.
Yeah, I do. But especially anyway. Now with a little one of my own now. So
that's exactly right. You get ready when they get old enough, they start getting into activities and stuff like that. Oh, so, man. Which is awesome, but it's, I don't know. What can I say about kids is that, you know, not everyone is blessed with the ability to have children and some people that have children don't truly appreciate them. But they're definitely change your life for the better, no matter the stresses or the negatives that may potentially come with that. I mean, it's definitely for the better, I think, anyway. So,
without a doubt. I mean, I still remember like the feeling I had when I saw my son for the first time, and it's an emotion that you can't even describe. Because there's so many things just bottled up into it. Like, I have this new human being that I'm not in charge of and have to take care of. But at the same time, like, you know, you start thinking about the future and, like, things you want to accomplish with them. And it's just, like, it doesn't truly hit you until you actually see them for the first time.
That's exactly right.
And it's just, it's probably one of the greatest feelings I've ever had.
Yep.
You know, I have a friend of mine who's getting ready to have his first child. And I told him, man, it's like, you're never going to be prepared. You're never going to be ready. But man, let me tell you, the first time you see that child,
yeah,
like, I can't describe the feeling, but everything will change. Everything will change.
It changes, and it changes for the better.
Yep.
Especially if you don't try to fight it and you just go with the flow. So, but anyway, we thank you for listening. And like I said, you can follow the show on Facebook. If you just search for Joshua Coffey, you can follow the show at 2F Talking at Twitter. And generally, I'll post the show links there. The show is available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, and basically all your major podcast things. Anyway, we thank you, and take it easy, and later.